Welcome to Michigan Sunrise Side Today. I'm Kevin Allen, and joining me from the Alcona County Conservation District, the forester there, Andrew Beebe. How are you today, Andrew?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
Good. Good to have you on the program. We got a few topics to talk about, but we're going to start off with, we hear the term all the time, but we don't always know what it entails. And that term is invasive species. And I guess you've been getting quite a few calls on this, haven't you?
Yeah, invasive species are definitely becoming more and more of a topic of interest. And, you know, I have a lot of folks give me a call to talk about specific invasive species, but I've met with a lot of people in the field, too, that just don't seem to realize what makes an invasive species, why an invasive species is such a big deal. You know, you have plants out there on the landscape, and plants is mainly what I deal in. But, you know, people just think that a plant out there, whether it's a native or whether it's a non-native, it's great to have plants out on the landscape, and as long as it's green, it's okay. And, you know, where we do have a lot of plants that aren't native to this area that really don't pose much of a threat, there are some real big issues with invasive species. So just briefly, you know, it's important to realize that invasive species can be animals, fungi, bacteria, plants. It's really anything, any organism that usually is not from our area. So in the case of Michigan and Iosco County in this area, a lot of our invasive species come from Asia and parts of Asia that have a very similar climate to Michigan and the Northeast. So you have these plants that have adapted over thousands of years to be in balance with other plants in their native range, and conversely we have, you know, our forest types and our other natural vegetation types, all these plants that have adapted and evolved along with each other. And then you bring in a plant that is a good candidate to survive in the climate. It can take the winters, and it likes the same sorts of hydrology, so it gets the same amount of rain, and it just has a very similar environment overseas. But you bring it over here, and the other environmental factors, the other competition factors with plants and animals and insects and bacteria that otherwise would have kept it from, you know, just booming, aren't there. So you have these plants that can just kind of run wild and really take over and cause a lot of competition in our forests in particular. That's really what I'm interested in. So they can outcompete our native trees. They can become the only thing that's there at times. We see a lot of plants that just blanket the understory and really would prevent trees from regenerating, would prevent folks from being able to move through it, and oftentimes provide some pretty poor nutrition in the berries and the nuts and fruits they produce. They just don't have the same sort of nutritional value that our wildlife here gets from the native shrubbery and native vegetation. So there's a big repercussion there, a big impact on our wildlife populations, which is a big topic of interest for a lot of folks, right, especially game populations. You have animals that are spending a lot of time eating these berries, eating these nuts and other fruits, and not getting a lot from it. So that's a big thing. And basically, an invasive species or a animal, plant, you know, whatever the organism is that's from a different place that comes here, really becomes invasive when it passes a certain damage threshold. So when it's causing some sort of damage, whether it be environmental, economic, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And the USDA has estimated that about $220 billion we see about $220 billion of damage in the U.S. every year due to invasive species. So that's crop production loss, that's, you know, ornamental plants that have been damaged by different invasive, you know, bacteria and fungi. It's timber values that we've lost, things like oak wilt and regeneration in the understory caused from, you know, just plants blanketing the understory. So there's a huge economic impact there that I think helps make it a little bit more tangible for people. And another really astounding example of that would be that in the UK, in Great Britain, when they were having the Olympics just a few years ago, I'm not exactly sure where it was, but not too long ago, they had the Olympics. And before they did it, while they were building all the infrastructure, all the stadiums and everything, they had this site selected that had a huge infestation of Japanese knotweed. And that was something that, you know, had been brought over to make the traditional English gardens and used horticulture like that for a long time. But this knotweed has just gotten way out of control. It's a big issue. Almost everybody knows about it. In the UK, it's probably akin to our autumn olive here. And they had to spend £70 million to eradicate this.
Wow.
So it's just this huge sum of money and on a really actually small parcel of land. I mean, I don't think it was more than 100 acres that they had to remove this plant from, and it was just that plant in particular is here. We do see it. I've seen it quite a bit up in Alcona County, and it in particular can cause a lot of damage to foundations of homes. It can damage roads. It can damage pipes. It evolved in Japan, as the name might suggest, mm-hmm. and it evolved on lava rock flows, so it actually has adapted to be able to break through lava rock, which makes it pretty obvious why it can be a big problem. Wow. With foundations and roadways. The rootlets and the rhizomes, the underground parts of the plants, can just bust through rocks and break really solid foundations that would surprise most people that a plant could do that. So that's a great example of why it's such a big deal.
Yeah,
invasive species are—it's definitely something that we need to think about. And you know, I know you can't always eradicate it, and you know, eradication is often not even something we talk about. But definitely good to prevent it, and definitely good to try and mitigate invasive species as much as you can, and you know, really just keep it from overtaking your property, and try and be that factor that keeps it all in balance. That's about all we can really do.
Sure. All right. Well, that's an interesting topic, but you also have some other topics coming up that you're going to be holding some seminars and some classes on, right?
Yeah, we have a couple things coming up here in July. So on July 1st at 10 a.m. in Harrisville at the Institute of Culture and Learning in Harrisville, right across the street from the Alcona Conservation District, mm-hmm. we're going to be holding a walnut budding class, a seminar really, demonstration actually. So if you have any familiarity with apple tree grafting, that's something we've done classes with in the past. This is pretty similar to apple tree grafting. Basically, you're taking a piece of live plant material from a walnut tree, and there's a couple of Carpathian walnut trees across the street there that produce a really excellent nut. So you take live woody vegetation from that plant and graft it onto a rootstock of a walnut. So basically, you know, for lack of a better way to describe it, you're just cutting a piece of this live tree and kind of placing it onto another part of a live vegetation and letting it heal together. And what you're doing when you're doing that is you're taking the genes from a nut tree that you know produces really good nuts and you're essentially propagating it. You're cloning that onto a new rootstock, so you'll have a tree that produces the exact same nuts and has all the same features, or at least very close to it. So it's a great way for people to, you know, get a little bit more comfortable with the idea of grafting. It can be very simple. Apple trees are pretty simple. This is a little bit more complex. But if you're interested in horticulture, gardening, that sort of thing, this will be a great demonstration, and should give you some ammunition to go back and work on your own properties with.
All right, very good. And that's again on July 1st. Do they need to pre-register for that? Can they just come on out?
Yeah, you can just come on out. It's going to be outside, so, you know, dress for the weather. Hopefully it'll be a beautiful day, but it will be outside, and you can park just right across the street at the Alcona Conservation District. We have quite a parking lot, so that's open to anybody and everybody. There should be plenty of space, so you can bring the whole family out if you're so inclined.
All right, very good. Well, anything else, Andrew?
Yep, actually, one more event in July. On July 15th at 6 p.m. at the ACC campus in Oscoda, we're going to be holding a wildlife habitat from the backyard to the forest, is what we're calling it. And that's going to be a seminar there. And it's going to be hosted by us, the Conservation District, but we have a biologist from the DNR, Brian Piccolo. He's a private lands biologist with the Michigan DNR. He's going to be coming in and basically giving a presentation that should be really interesting, talking about wildlife habitat and trying to give folks ideas of practical habitat improvements so they can bring back to their property, whether it's, you know, just a backyard, you want to see a little bit more wildlife in your small acre backyard, or if you have a back 40 kind of thing. So we're kind of going to run the whole myriad of different techniques you can employ, whether it's something really small, cheap and easy, or kind of a bigger project that you might want to take on and have a little bit more intensive planning for. So that'll be a great event that, again, is open and totally free, open to everybody. But we would like you to register for this one, and then we're going to have a dinner provided. So, you know, it'll be a pizza dinner. But I'd just like you to give me a call, and I'll get you on my list here. It's, you know, obviously going to be limited to the size of the classroom and for dinner. But we have only a few folks signed up so far, so still have got some space. And if you're interested in coming out to that, it's at 6 p.m. on July 15th. But just give me a call at 989-335-1056, and we'll get you registered.
Very good. Forester from the Alcona County Conservation District, Andrew Beebe. Andrew, always a pleasure, and we'll look forward to talking to you again in the near future.
Sounds good. Thank you, sir.